Welcome everybody to Denver. I'd like to discuss a little bit tonight the question, which is, what exactly will be the order of the Geula? The actual Geula and the coming of the Mashiach can be broken down simply into four different parts. Part number one, we will say, is the coming of the Mashiach. Part number two, again, this is not the order, or else the shiur would be over. Part number two would be the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Three will be the coming of Eliyahu. And four, and finally, will be Milchemes Gog u'Magog. There is a, let's start with things that we have sources on. So the idea that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come before the coming of Mashiach is actually the very last pasuk, or second to last pasuk technically, in Nevi'im. Right, we all know the pasuk. Hine anochi shaleach lochem es Eliyahu hanavi lifnei vo yom Hashem hagadol vehanora. At the very end of Malachi, the last of the Nevi'im, Hashem tells us that this is Malachi. He is the final Navi. The next Navi that Kal Yisrael will get to see is Eliyahu hanavi, who will come lifnei vo yom Hashem hagadol vehanora. He will come before that great and awesome day. What is that great and awesome day? So the Gemara in Erevin tells us that that is the day of Mashiach. The Gemara in Erevin has a very interesting statement. It says that Mashiach can't come on Sundays. Why? What's he so busy with? He can't come on Sundays? So according to the Gemara in Erevin, the idea is that the day before Mashiach comes, Eliyahu is supposed to come, and Eliyahu can't come on Shabbos. Why can't Eliyahu come on Shabbos? Because Eliyahu is located in the heavens, and travel from the heavens down to here would be a problem of Tchum Shabbos. So that is the reason why we can have it. That's what the Gemara in Erevin tells us. So we're going to hold off on the questions that I'm sure many people have regarding Eliyahu's being bound by these rules. There are a lot of fascinating questions that you probably haven't even thought of. When we have a bris on Shabbos, we have a Kisei Shel Eliyahu, right? So how is he attending? Right, when Pesach falls out on Shabbos, we still put out the kosher Eliyahu so that he can slide down the chimney and drink it. Right, so if that's the case, why is that? Why is this a problem? A question beyond the scope of this year. You can private message me about it afterwards. That's all a good question. But the point that I care about is to say that you see from the Gemara that there is a relationship, that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come to the Sanhedrin and announce that tomorrow Mashiach will appear. Maybe he'll identify the Mashiach, and that will be the beginning of the Messianic era as we understand it. This is why, for example, on Moshe Shabbos, we sing Zemiros Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi, Eliyahu HaGiladi. Why do we sing that on Moshe Shabbos? Well, that's the idea. Shabbos, Eliyahu had the day off. He couldn't come, since Eliyahu couldn't come on Shabbos, right? So now it's Motze Shabbos. We say, okay, no, you got the day off. Let's go. Time to Eliyahu should come, and Eliyahu should bring the Mashiach. So that is the assumption. That's what we understand from the Gemara. The Gemara says that that is the order that we have it in. So according to this, we know Eliyahu comes beforehand. Again, just to touch on briefly on other points, we said very clearly that Eliyahu is going to announce to the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin, we assume to mean this is the Sanhedrin of the 71 Dayanim, the 71 Dayanim who have smicha. Nowadays, we don't have smicha anymore. If we don't have smicha, we don't have a Sanhedrin. If we don't have a Sanhedrin, who's Eliyahu going to talk to? If Eliyahu doesn't have anyone to talk to, how are we ever going to get the Mashiach? So the Rambam was actually bothered by that question, and both in the Mishneh Torah and in his Perush HaMishnayos on Sanhedrin, the Rambam talks about how it is we can bring back smicha in order for this to happen. So again, these are all questions, but we see here very clearly that Eliyahu is supposed to come before Mashiach. Not everybody agrees with that. That is not something that's 100% agreed on. If you look at the Chasam Sofer, the Chasam Sofer points to sources that says, Lifnei vo yom Hashem ha-gadol ha-nora, the great and awesome day we are talking about is not, in fact, Mashiach, but it is, in fact, Gog u'Magog. That Eliyahu is going to come before Gog u'Magog, and therefore we don't know necessarily if Eliyahu is going to come before or after we have Mashiach. So, because we don't know where Mashiach fits into this. So That is one issue. So we know that there is a relationship between Eliyahu. He's going to come lifnei vo yom Hashem agadol v'hanora, but we're not really sure what the lifnei yom Hashem agadol v'hanora is. According to the Gemara, which is a pretty primary source, that lifnei yom, that great day that we are talking about, is the day of Mashiach. And that is a majority, that is probably the primary opinion, but there are other opinions as well. So that's issue number one. While we're on the topic of Gog and Magog, let's talk a little bit about Gog and Magog. What exactly is Gog and Magog? So the Melchemes Gog and Magog, right, is not a, sounds like it's a war of Gog against Magog. It's not. Gog is the Melech of Magog. So it's Gog and Magog. Gog and his country, Magog, against Israel. This war is prophesied about both in Yechezkel and Zechariah. It's a very scary nevuah. It talks about that at the end of days, there's going to be a great war where basically pretty much all of the nations of the world will attack Israel. They, in fact, will be successful in conquering Israel. And then miraculously, there's going to be an earthquake in Israel, which is going to wipe out all of the conquering armies. And that will spring forth to the Mashiach. We have a tradition that there are three Melchemes Gog and Magog. It's a series of three wars. You could have your opinions about it. The Chofetz Chaim is quoted in the Lev Eliyahu, where the story was that in the late 30s, it must have been, of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Baranovich, and he was also the Chavrusa of the Chafetz Chaim, even though he was many years younger. He had gone to England to raise money, and they told him, don't go back to Eastern Europe because it's terrible. And he got up and he said as follows. He said, the Chafetz Chaim told me as follows. He said, after the First World War, he said, that is the first Melchemes Gog and Magog. And then he said to him, there will be afterwards a second war in around 25 years from now, and it will make the first war seem like nothing. He said, and then afterwards there'll be a third war, which will make the second war seem like nothing, but that will lead to Mashiach. So Melchemes says, I know what I'm walking into, but I'm going to do it anyhow. And unfortunately, the people were right. Rabbi Chanan perished in the Holocaust. So according to the Chofetz Chaim, the ultimate Melchemes Gog and Magog is going to be World War III. You know, assuming our story from Rabbi Chanan is accurate, so the Chofetz Chaim accurately predicted World War II. World War II was approximately 25 years after World War I. World War II, definitely from a Jewish point of view, and probably also likely from a world point of view, made World War I look like nothing. So based on that, there's going to be a World War III. And in World War III, Israel's going to end up on the short end because there will be this nation or this alliance of nations that will attack. It will be terrible for us. But then afterwards, that will usher in the Messianic period. Whoever survives that war. Just as a by the way, so the question is, it's going to be so terrible, these Chevrei Mashiach, the Gog, is there anything we can do to prepare for it? Should we make Aliyah? No, because Israel's going to be a place where the war is going to be worse. I don't mean to be negative, but... So the Gemara tells us there's this one thing a person can do to take care of the problems of Gog and Magog, and that is eat shalashudis. If you eat shalashudis, you're protected from this. So talk about cost-benefit. I would think that it would be worthwhile to sit down and eat your shalashudis. What? Especially in Israel. Israeli shalashudis is very important. So that is the idea of Gog and Magog. So we don't know, is the Chofetz Chaim right? Where are we up to? It's an interesting theory. So The question is, where does it fall out in terms of the picture, right? The way I presented it just now, it sounds like that the Milchemes Gog u'Magog will usher in the Messianic period. And that's what it sounds like from the Midrashim. The Midrashim seem to be saying that you're going to have Milchemes Gog u'Magog, and out of that, Mashiach will sprout. The Rambam, however, learns it the opposite way. He said the Rambam has the idea that there is, we'll discuss at a later week, that there is a concept of Cheskas Mashiach, and then there's Vaday Mashiach. There's some that if somebody does the following things, then we can assume there's a good chance the person's going to be a Mashiach. And then if he goes on to do A, B, and C, then the person is Vaday Mashiach. So he says one of the things that person has to do is lead us to victory in Milchemes Gog u'Magog, which means there has to be a Mashiach beforehand. So as far as that order goes, also we have a disagreement in that the Rambam thinks that Gog u'Magog happens after the time of the Mashiach comes, as opposed to you have the Midrashim, which might be the simpler of reading, says that in fact, no, it goes the other way around. That first you have the war, and then you have Mashiach. The next issue, which may be the most practical issue, which is the issue that up to the modern days is discussed in the Ema Banim Smecha, and not surprisingly also in the Vayal Moshe, is the question is, what is the relationship between the coming of the Mashiach and, on the other hand, the building of the Beis HaMikdash? Is it that the Mashiach comes and he builds the Beis HaMikdash? Or are we on our own supposed to take some initiative, build the Beis HaMikdash, and that will usher in, maybe the mitzvah will usher in the idea, will usher in the time of the of our being worthy of getting the Mashiach. And so again, it's as not surprising, it is a machlokas. I guess you probably could have guessed that at this point. The Yerushalmi in Meiser Sheni is very clear. The Yerushalmi says that, believe it or not, the Beis HaMikdash happens before the coming of the Mashiach. Right? And that is harped upon by Rav Teichtel, that there's no reason for us to sit around on our thumbs waiting for the world to change, right? Waiting for the Mashiach to come to do things. Rather, it is incumbent upon us to push forward and to, in fact, build the Beis HaMikdash, right? Let's force God's hand, Kaviyahu. Let's get moving with this. That is the opinion. That's what it says pretty clearly in the Yerushalmi in Ma'aser Sheni. There seems to be, this also, believe it or not, is not only the opinion of the Yerushalmi, but at least according to Rashi's reading, this is the opinion of the Bavli as well. Where do we see that? So the Gemara in Megillah talks about the Shemona Esrei. And the Gemara wants to know, why do we line up the brachas the way we do? So Shemona Esrei has 19 blessings. The first three are Shevach, the last three are Hodah. The middle 13, though, are requests. So first I say Chonen Das, I'd like to have some knowledge, right? And then Slach Lanu, then Rifa'enu, right? We want forgiveness, we want to be healthy, right? We want to have parnasa, and eventually we get to ideas like we want to have Mashiach, we want to have the Beis HaMikdash. We build up to that. So why that order? Why don't we start with Mashiach? Why don't we start with parnasa? Why the order that they gave it to us? So the Gemara goes step by step and says that there's one thing leads to another. The Gemara in Megillah on Yuzayim Rebbeis going over to Yuches Amud Aleph goes to all of the brachas, all of the middle brachas, and explains how we should do it. We have V'lam Al Shinim, and then we have Ala Tzadikim, and then we have Uvnei Yerushalayim. And Uvnei Yerushalayim is followed by Es Tzemach David. What are we davening for when we say for Yerushalayim? We're praying that that Yerushalayim should be rebuilt. What do we mean by Lashon Abba Yerushalayim Habanuya? What does Benuya mean? It doesn't mean that they should finally finish the light rail, right? It doesn't mean that that the train should be full, that the new kvish should be done. These are all important, right? The rebuilding of Eretz Yisrael is important, but the one building we're really waiting for is the Beis HaMikdash, right? So first we down for the Beis HaMikdash, then Es Tzemach David. Who's Tzemach David? The Mashiach. So Rashi says the reason we daven for it in that order, because that is the order that it's going to happen in. First, we're going to have the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and that will be followed by the Mashiach. So according to Rashi's understanding of the Gemara, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi both agree that in fact the specific order is first we're going to have the Beis HaMikdash, and after we build the Beis HaMikdash, or however the Beis HaMikdash is built, then afterwards we will have the Mashiach. Now, yes. Eliyahu is going to stand on the roof. Correct. That is absolutely correct. And another proof for the matter is the Medrash, right, which says that Eliyahu, when he makes the announcement that this is the Mashiach, the announcement is going to be made from the roof of the Beis HaMikdash. Now again, Midrashim, as we know, do not have to be taken literally. But the literal reading of that is first Beis HaMikdash, then Eliyahu, followed by Mashiach. That is clearly the order that we have it in that way. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, when he discusses the order of the Geula, the Rambam says that among the things that the Mashiach has to do to prove himself to be worthy is to lead the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, which indicates that it was not built beforehand. So therefore, the Rambam is of the opinion that no, first Mashiach comes, and then afterwards we have Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Very interesting, we happened to mention earlier in the week that there is a machlokes between the Rambam and Rashi again, as to the actual Beis HaMikdash, the third Beis HaMikdash, whether it would be built by man or will come down miraculously. Right, Rashi, I believe in Rosh Hashanah, I think Tosus and Shavuos, both point out that there's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara talks about the Korban HaOmer. As we know, you can't eat the new grain, you can't eat the new wheat until the Korban HaOmer is brought. Nowadays, unfortunately, we do not have a Beis HaMikdash, we do not have Karbanos, and therefore, what are we going to do? It's not the Korban that's Matir the Chodesh, but rather the day, the second day of Pesach, that is Matir the Chadash. So the question is, okay, so at the end of the first day right away I can, or I have to wait till the end of the second day? What, on the second day of Pesach itself, am I allowed to eat Chadash? So the Gemara says that really technically the answer is yes. However, it says that they made a takana not to, why Shema Yibana Beis HaMikdash. Maybe on the second day of Pesach I'll decide I want some Chadash for lunch. And then, without knowing that the Beis HaMikdash has been built, right? And they brought the Karban. So, in fact, it wasn't mut until after the Karban. So, Rashi and Tosus are very bothered. You ever try to build anything in Israel? Right? You got to go through the Histadrut. It's a disaster, right? By the time you get, you're going to, Erev Pesach, we had no Beis HaMikdash. You're telling me you took care of all the zoning, the demolition of whatever was there, and you were able to build it. In a few, I didn't even know about it. So based on that, the Rambam and the Tosfos are the opinion that the third Beis HaMikdash is miraculously going to come down. It's going to come down from the heavens. That's why it's no problem. But it sounds from this opinion that according to Rashi, it's going to come down. That's true. But it's going to come down before Mashiach. And afterwards, Mashiach is going to come. The Rambam thinks that you have to build it. And in fact, the mankal, the person that's going to be the head architect in charge, the contractor, is going to be the Mashiach. And therefore, he believes Mashiach comes first, and then afterwards we have this. It's very interesting. In most of these cases, we don't really know the answers. That's the truth. but it's a very odd machlokas between the Rambam and Rashi, because it really ends up in the girsa that we have in Yalla V'Yavo. So when we say Yalla V'Yavo in Nusach Ashkenaz, East Denver Orthodox Synagogue is an Ashkenaz davening shul, for those of you in internet land who aren't familiar. So what do we say? We say Yalla V'Yavo V'Yagia, blah, blah, blah. Zichron, Yerushalayim, Yerkachel V'Zichron, Mashiach ben David Adecha. Which order do we say that in? What? What? Have a sitter? Look it up. Mashiach first, right? We specifically, on Anu B'nai Ashkenaz, we say first Zichron Mashiach, then Zichron Yerushalayim. It sounds like the Ashkenaz are following which opinion? They're following the Rambam. If you look at the Svaradim, they say first Zichron Yerushalayim and then Zichron Mashiach. So the Svaradim are following the Rashi and the Ashkenazim are following the Rambam. Is this the only case that's ever happened? No. Hilchos Chanukah, you have a case like that as well. It's a rarity. But in fact, this is it is an interesting case, because it would seem that the different nuschos that we have in Yalla V'Yavo are also the different nuschos, right? They're different. There's the same machlokas as to what the order is going to be. Well, in terms of benching, for Nusach Sfarad, HaRachman Hu Yizakein V'Yikein, Limos HaMashiach, how's it go? Before that, Ube Vinyan Beis HaMikdash, right? No, it's Nusach Sfarad, I'm an Ashkenaz, we agree. Right, so we say, right? I only know from the Kalbach song. Right, so I believe in that case it says, anybody? What comes first? Right, and we don't say it. It's L'Yimos HaMashiach, U'Levinyan Beis HaMikdash, U'Lechai Olam Haba. So Svard, it's not Svaradi. Right, Anus Tashra doesn't have the word, but Anus Svard, again, that follows the Rambam, right? And therefore you have, the order is that first you're going to have the Mashiach and then you're going to have the Beis HaMikdash. So, what? Correct. Again, so if you tell me that the reason they're in that order is because chronologically then it's going to happen that way, which is what Rashi says, yes, but you don't have to say that that's the reason we do it in that order. Again, you can offer many svaras that would have it that way. So the bottom line is, as we are running out of time, is that there's very little that we agree on. This is the beauty of Judaism, right? Right? That at the end of the day, right, for Gog Magog, right? Gog Magog may be before Mashiach and maybe after Mashiach. Eliyahu may be before Mashiach, maybe before Gog Magog, right? Mashiach could be before Binyan Beis HaMikdash, could be after Binyan Beis HaMikdash, right? There seems to hardly be a logical possibility out there that we haven't touched on. The Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, the very end of the Rambam Mishneh Torah is Hilchos Malachim. And the last parak of Hilchos Malachim is Parak Yud Beis. So the Rambam in the second halacha, in Parak Yud Beis, of Hilchos Malachim, finally lets us on to the big secret. And he says, we have no idea. At the end of the day, we really have very little idea as to what's going to happen, what the order is going to be, because the sources are so unclear. If you try to read through the few Nevuahs we have about this in the Navi, they are so tied up in riddles that the bottom line is the Rambam has his theory, Right? Other Rashi has his theory. Other people have their theories. At the end of the day, we really don't know what the answer is. The Rambam himself writes it flat out. He said, no, this is one man's opinion, but it's not much more than that. Right? So therefore, at the end of the day, we don't have many options. Now, if I lived in the time of the Rambam, it would be sad because we had another 800 years to go to to Mashiach. He probably was, wasn't going to find out. But nowadays, Baruch Hashem, Mashiach is near. And since Mashiach is right around the corner, so therefore, soon enough, we'll find out who exactly was right. Right? That, again, there are different opinions on it. It's very, again, when it comes to hashkafa, you know, hashkafa is not like halacha. Halacha, you have to paskin. Hashkafa, you don't have to paskin. You know? As we say to the kids in the car, when we get there, we'll be there. You know? And I think at this point, I think we can all have come to the following agreement that I'd be willing to take it in any order. You want to give me Mashiach now? You want to give me Eliyahu now? Right? Go Mugger, I'm not as excited about, to be honest with you. But if that's what it takes, I think we'd be willing to take that as well. So the hope is, as we open here the 3 weeks, we are hoping that soon enough we know the answers to these questions. Yes. Well, again, initially we will not be victorious. Ultimately, we will be victorious. Right? Well, again, did we win World War II? Okay, and was it pretty miserable? So it seemed quite this that World War III is going to be the same. Good question. There are a few theories. What we know from the Navi is that Magog is a northern nation, which over the years has given possibilities, just to give ideas. Bavel, right, is known as a northern nation, right? Russia. Russia is directly north of Israel, and therefore that was a possibility that certain times was bandied about. The most interesting opinion, though, appears in Rashi in Yuma. And you're going to think I'm joking. When you look it up afterwards, he takes the word Magog and he gives it a one-word translation. Kanadia. They're from the north. It's always the people you least expect. But in fact, the interesting, the Malbim identifies Magos as B'nai Yishmael, which is also a very interesting thought to have out there. But what we know from the Navi, it's a northern nation. And, throughout history, as we picked up more and more enemies up north, that's how it went down. Okay. Not what? Not Why not? Bavel. Right? Okay. Close enough. All right. Thank you very much.